This is a homebrew podcast.
Oh, look, I got another letter.
Again?
Who's this one from, Ferrick?
It is from my old friend, Zuma.
Have you mentioned this friend before?
No, I haven't.
Zuma? Like the plague?
What?
Like the plague? Zuma, are we all going to die from that? From that letter? Is it infected?
No, but you are.
No, I what? Jeez, no, it can't be anything that terrible.
You should drop the letter.
Oh, look! He just sent me a dead rat. That's all.
Let me guess, you're gonna eat it?
Don't eat it.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay, all right.
I mean, that might be preventing a plague.
Ah, yeah. Delicious.
Do not puke in that room again.
Thank you, Zuma.
I learned my lesson last time, and it's just a regurgitation. That's not, it's not a puke. It's not wet.
Okay, all right.
It's just my pellet.
Thank you for enhancing Ferrick's pellet, Zuma.
No more rats, if you please.
Thank you, Zuma.
Welcome to Power Word Fail, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Cody. But enough about me, let's introduce the real stars of the podcast, starting with Ian.
Ambrose Boussaint, and I was wrong.
Andy.
Pickles. Did you see how hot that guy was?
Nathan.
Eugene, a new man.
Austin.
Ferrick, the council charmer.
Katie.
Adolia Vrelin, bearer of the hero's light.
Allie.
Navara, Satari's champion.
And joining us will be Tyrell.
Ravana, happy to be here.
And again, I'm the Dungeon Master, Cody, and this is episode 40 of Power Word Fail, the big 4-0. Last time, the failures had an internal check-in on what they planned to say to the Golden Council regarding the succession of the throne of Mornstead. They came up with an ambitious suggestion. Rather than a single ruler, they intended to propose a new system of government in which three people would share power. When they arrived to meet with Kelvin and his compatriots, they pitched this idea hard. And through some very poor rolls on Kelvin's part, they managed to convince him to install the three kings of Mornstead. Just don't give him any rubber cigars.
What?
It's the popular verse of We Three Kings.
I thought that was a sex toy joke.
We Three Kings of Orientar tried to light a rubber cigar. It was loaded, it exploded. Now there's only two of us.
I've never heard that.
I learned something new today.
Yeah, it's what all the kids in my fucking school say. So I'm shocked you guys don't know about it. It's like
I was on your page.
Glad someone was.
They played that song during Cody's prom.
We were all dancing to it.
Just getting down.
The We Three Kings alternative verse. Anyways, as the meeting drew to a close, someone new arrived on the scene. A knight of the Crystal Crown named Ravenaw. He had made the journey after hearing of the events here in Mornstead, and is seeking an entity called the Dark Matron that he suspects can be found just outside of Ordemal in the concurrent theocracy. He brings news that the death count in Farrington has reached nearly 1,000, revealing to Navara that the failures were responsible for the tragedy there. Eventually, they agree to reconvene in the morning to discuss teaming back up and tracking down the Dark Matron, and then headed to dinner at the Abernathy Estate, and that's where we'll pick back up.
Pickles. I would like to do something for you.
Okay.
We'll need to go outside. If you don't mind, I'd like to inspect your affliction a little.
Oh, that's rude. Sure. Who are you again? You've been here for like 2 days and I...
If it's too intrusive, we don't have to. It appears that you're struggling a little and I would like to help you.
I mean, it's better than Ambrose poking me with a pencil, so okay, sure.
Okay, we will need to go outside for this.
Okay.
Would anyone else like to join?
I would follow.
While Pickles goes gets their affliction looked at, whatever that means, where else should we go? Where should we go while the affliction is being looked at?
I was actually thinking about going to the library if you guys want to join me.
Oh.
Do we have time before dinner?
Probably not. So we'll probably have to go later in the evening.
Maybe this evening then.
Yes. It's going to be a late night, so make sure you drink your coffee.
Is this going to take a while, Navara?
No, I don't think it will at all.
Okay. Well, then we should be good to go to dinner. All right. We'll just start walking outside. Let's go.
Navara will follow.
Look at my affliction.
Navara will begin digging through her pouch and gathering several incense and kind of placing them around Pickles. And she'll look up and use her Eclipse Racial and cast a spell called Legend Lore on Pickles.
It smells funny.
You'll get used to it. It won't be but a moment. That's why it's better to do it outside.
That is a nice spell.
Mm-hmm. I love Legend Lore. One of my favorites.
So specifically, Navara would be describing what she's seen, the oddities that she's kind of picked up around Pickles with her memory being gone and the her not being able to touch people and things of that nature to see if there's been anything similar known.
So, Navara, this is a pretty powerful spell. You would burn the incense. It consumes quite a bit of material components, 250 gold.
That's why Navara's always working on that money.
Right.
Navara's always hustling. Love that.
That's
for her.
So much money.
Always.
450 gold. Jeez.
You would definitely have heard tales of people who have died and crossed over to the other side and, you know, not being resurrected in a proper fashion like you would, or, you know, a very high level cleric, that they could retain some remnants of that realm, of the realm of death. You can think of one specific figure from fame who this happened to. His name was Vinny Utmaf. He was the court wizard of Eric the Terrible. He had died and been improperly resurrected, so to speak, and had retained a lot of strange qualities from the other side.
This guy.
He's what would be known regionally as a lich.
And would Navara's, any of her previous training, would she know how to help someone who was like that?
You definitely think that you could reverse the process, but you would have to be very close to the gap between worlds, basically. Like, you'd have to find a place where it is very close to the realm of death, physically, in our world. Casting the spell, I would say that you've heard legends that in the Trakari wilds there are places like this.
Awesome. Thank you. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, other than it really smells out here. How much longer is this going to be?
We're done. That's everything. Thank you for letting me do that. I know it was invasive.
Did you figure out anything? I mean, I just had to sit around in some smoke. It wasn't really that bad.
Yeah, it took about 10 minutes.
You know, I just think there's going to need more research to be done. But I certainly don't think you're a lost cause or anything like that.
You were trying to figure out if I was a lost cause? You could have said that in the first place. I would have just said, like, no, I don't want to know. That's, you well, lead with that. You don't say, like, oh, like, there was a chance that you were just going to be a goner. Like,
I wouldn't have said a goner. But if you wanted to change, you have the option to. And beforehand, if you didn't want to change, well, or if you still wanted to change, well, you had the chance of not having that option. But you do have the option, and so all good stuff, I promise.
Throughout the whole conversation, Miraz, or Eugene, is just sulking in the background, and several times he almost interjects to try to make matters better, realizes that interjecting would probably make matters worse, and decides to just be silent.
Well, that's okay, because Pickles was about to go, Eugene, do you believe this?
I'm not really sure what to believe. How much of Navara's knowledge is, like, made public to Eugene, or is it just stuff that Navara figures out that Eugene wouldn't know? Because that's my impression of what just happened.
Oh, yeah, that's what I took to you, that you didn't actually tell us.
I suppose that's up to Navarro.
I wouldn't have said anything, just that everything was good news. And okay, kind of left it at that.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry. So Eugene would say, well, Pickles, Navarro is more powerful at magic than I am. I'm not sure what she gleaned from this, but given her success with the Queen's Soul, I think that good news truly is good news. I don't think that at any point you would be a lost cause, though.
Okay, well, this was weird.
If you remove the affliction from Pickles, what will happen afterwards? Will they go back to being dead?
Varric, you startled me.
I don't believe so. That's why I need more research. I think it would just... So it seemed like maybe her resurrection was done improperly and
fucking tinkle
would fix that part of it, and I believe she would still remain on the plane with us. But of course I would not want to risk it until we've investigated further.
Did you say remain on the plane with us? Like there's a chance that she'd be shunted to an entirely different reality?
I've seen something like that in the past. I just don't know. Again, this is all very new territory for me.
All right.
I would like to stay alive, please.
I would like that for you too, Pickles.
Me too.
Well, if we're talking about further research, I'm planning on going to the library tonight. We can all go there.
Dahlia comes out of the house dressed in her fancy clothes again. Ah, these rites. Mr. Abernathy makes me very nervous.
You look fantastic.
Okay.
Do we care what he thinks?
Maybe.
Okay, well, you look great. I'm not dressing up.
All right. Did you say something about the library, though? Ambrose, I would very much like to go. I've never seen one.
Yes. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and I think we should all get together and talk about it.
All right. So, the Abernathy Estate Library, and then in the morning we reconvene with Ravenau, yes?
Yes.
Is there anything else we have to do?
Did you want to visit your family, Maraz? Aren't they here in Mondstadt?
I do. I need to see them before we leave town, but we can do that on the way out. I'll visit them on the morrow. Let's focus on the Abernathys and whatever research we need to do for now.
I already left while Eugene's been talking.
Damn. It's cold. So do you guys all head out then?
Adalia will kind of pat Eugene on the shoulder.
He'll come around.
Yeah, Eugene gets disinspiration.
He'll come around, Maraz.
Dishonor.
I hope you're right, Adalia. Thank you.
Let's go.
All right. So you all head to the Abernathy Estate.
Daddy Abernathy, Daddy Abernathy.
You approach. It is about 5:00. The servants are all running around, cleaning still, getting the garden in order. Everything is a little bit topsy-turvy here. They look at you as you approach. One of the butlers approaches you. Pardon me, I've been told not to let anyone on the premises these days. Do you have an appointment?
Yes, we are here for dinner.
At Lord Abernathy's invitation.
Oh, I hadn't been told. I will inform the chefs right this way. He leads you through the grand hall to the dining room where Lord Abernathy is sitting by himself, enjoying dinner. When you walk in, he looks surprised.
Well, what are you doing here? I thought you said you weren't coming.
Change my mind.
Well, I haven't prepared anything, but I could have the chefs cook you something fast. Maybe a sandwich.
Sounds great.
Do you have pie?
You heard him. He claps and waves the butler who escorted you here away.
Well, have a seat. I was hoping you would have come.
I mean, my God, Daddy Abernathy, how forward.
Damn,
right here, right now? Okay.
I'm a child.
I don't want to be impolite.
We're all children, it's fine.
I've requested your presence. I think you know what to do.
I didn't think it was that sort of dinner.
We have some business to discuss. I'm glad to see that you have brought the soul binder. Navara, it is a pleasure as always. He stands up and walks across the room. He pulls out an envelope and hands it to you, Navara. It is a requisition form for all of the supplies that you've asked for the ritual, and a receipt saying that he has received them. And he sits back down. I'm ready to proceed with the ritual when you are, and I'm ready to talk business when you are. And he motions over to Ambrose.
Navara, what would you like to do?
I would say business, and I will prepare the materials.
He nods, and one of his servants goes off to fetch them. He'll be back shortly. Now, if we're getting to business, I have a proposition for you, something to consider. He goes over to another shelf and pulls out a big book and sets it down on the table. I have a very large parcel of land that I think y'all would be interested in. Thoughts? Opening remarks?
I mean, where? What? Who? Like, we need descriptors.
Well, you see, Farrington's in a rather poor state. I own some land up there. I thought maybe you could develop it for me. Something of a business proposition. You can do whatever you like. You could make a hotel or a bar or a farm or whatever you'd like, just preferably something to improve the local Sandin. And it's yours, of course.
Let me see the document.
Is it big enough to hide a full-grown dragon?
I would like to not repeat the events of Farrington 1, but it is a rather sizable portion of land.
Well, I'm not saying that we're going to do it, but, like, is it large enough that we could if... I'm just trying to get comparisons.
It is pretty large. It is about 100 square acres in between Farrington and Northwatch, just along the road.
Isn't that where all the magical trees were?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lord Abernathy, is this land otherwise occupied? Are there settlers there?
Well, there shouldn't be. It's my land. I haven't been there in some time, and it's undeveloped. So, if there are, rightfully, they need to leave.
Should we accept? Is this something that could wait a certain amount of time? We have a few pressing concerns.
I mean, I suppose it could wait as long as you'd like. It's your land, but you won't make any money on a barren plot of land.
Pickles, is everyone here so concerned with real estate? I feel like I have these conversations every day.
I don't know. I just wanted something fun to be there.
Can I see the contract?
Well, this is a generous offer, Lord Abernathy. What strings are attached, or what do you expect to get out of it?
I was hoping for a small finder's fee, you know, something 10%. Let's start the bidding at 10%. That's modest. But you said you want something fun, Pickles. Why don't you build something fun? This land could use something fun.
No, that's not the point of a gift.
Any thoughts? What's fun? A tavern. Who doesn't love a tavern? Pickles Tavern.
No, because that brings barmaids, and I don't want to deal with them.
Who doesn't want to be a barmaid?
Somehow your selling is getting worse as you go.
It can be whatever you want. You like bumblebees?
I like bumblebees. Are there bees there?
There certainly could be, if you like.
Well, I think this sounds delightful. Perhaps we'll run into Daple again.
Can I see the contract, Cornelius?
Yeah, he pulls it out. He pulls out a piece of paper. He starts writing it up. He's like, well, let me just double check some things, fill in a couple of gaps here, check on some things. All right, here you are. And he slides it across, and it is a fairly standard business contract. You guys own the land. He gets 10% of any income that you bring in, and you have to pay taxes to the Kingdom of Mornstead, too.
What percent are the taxes?
20%.
20%?
So
20%.
I didn't really... Okay. I really was expecting to go into, like, a tax policy. plotline, but like...
Yeah, we should have voted for that other guy. This is very bad.
Do we know that 20% is like standard across like general businesses here? And is that gross income or net income?
I have a jeweled quarter question about taxes.
Sure. So first, it would be net taxes. Income. And then, so, you know, you get to take your 20%, or your gross or whatever. So it's like 20% goes to the kingdom, and then 10% goes to Abernathy, and then you keep what's left.
I mean, the kingdom does need a lot of tax revenue, right? Like, cities are dropping left and right.
And they're broke. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've assumed that the Busan Palace has never had to like pay any form of taxes because they are like a religious form of residence and has been used for like the community. Could I purchase that land for
religious exemption?
Purchase that land to pay no taxes.
Wow.
Ambrose is going to build a church.
This is a jeweled quarter question.
I mean, wow. I do think that if you made it a church, that could work. If you made it like a Vespa, like a, you know, dedicated it to Vespa and, you know, gave another portion of your profits to the church.
Just to confirm, though, is that Born Sent Law? Are you confirming this with me?
Yeah. I'm willing to say that your family, you know, has always been committed to the church and that you've never had to pay in the past. Between your father being in the Ivory Guard.
Mm-hmm. I said, this is a great deal. I don't say anything to anyone. This is a great deal.
My question as a someone who has not always been honest is I just want to be sure that this contract is not written with illusory script and that we're actually assigning what's on paper. So if someone can figure that out, Ambrose, if you could identify.
I took the document out of Moroz's hand. Switches my lens. Do I see anything? I'm going to cast detect magic.
No. It's just a regular contract. Businessman to businessman.
Yeah, just give me one second. I write whatever jargon's on the contract, essentially saying, like, you know, partially will be part of Ambrose the Busan estate on the side of it, just to, like, confirm that this might be used for religious purposes, and then put onto the contract. So it may, like, waive taxes and fees later.
He looks at the alterations you've made, and he says, wow, very noble. I did not expect this was going to be such a highbrow endeavor. I was thinking maybe a casino, something fun, but whatever.
Are you guys okay with that? As long as you use it for religious purposes, we can write off all the taxes.
I suppose a hospital would make a lot of money right now.
I don't think Eugene actually vocalized that yet, but...
Maybe that was just an independent thought.
Or we can just pay 20% taxes. You guys choose. It's not just my say.
I think all of these sound like reasonable aspirations for us, but we do have very pressing threats elsewhere. I don't feel like we can take the time now to go and develop a piece of land. So I just want to ensure that some delay will be acceptable under the terms of the contract?
He nods.
I'm sure there's like a D&D way of mathing how much it would take to like build a building, right?
Yeah.
There's some third-party supplements I have for that I can send to Cody. I think there's probably some stuff in the DMG too.
Maybe we could start hiring people to go like start building while we go on our adventure.
Yeah, subcontract it, right?
Interesting.
Like, not actually, like, start the hospital or whatever, but, like, start getting buildings on the land so that when we can...
Sure, get someone to go chop down all the trees, flatten the land, put down a...
Underground
foundation.
Yeah, yep. Break ground, yeah. Build a building. That sounds possible. You know, Abernathy...
Deal with the magic trees.
He's nodding about all that. Well, I think we've made quite a bit of progress tonight. A little bit disappointed your sandwiches aren't ready. I apologize.
We'll take them to go.
Well.
Just gonna take his food.
At about that moment, one of the servants comes in. He opens the door. Some more butlers come in with various plates. Set them in front of you. open up the little round dome that I don't know the name of, and there are turkey sandwiches for you all. They all proceed to leave, except for the one who held open the door. He shuts it behind him and approaches Lord Abernathy and hands him a small box, and then proceeds to leave himself. Abernathy opens the box and lays out some of Evangeline's favorite things. Katie, what are some things that Evangeline would have that are her absolute favorite things?
I think that there would be... She probably had like a very nice pen because she spent so much time writing letters. So like a very beautiful, you know, very high-end feather quill that she used for those sorts of things. I think she would have probably all of the birthday cards that she and Ambrose wrote back and forth, because that was like a thing for them. And then just a lot of jewels. Like, Evangeline really liked money and beautiful things. So just a lot of fancy, beautiful, you know, jewelry in various right. forms. But a better question, what does her dad think her favorite things are? That is a good question. I think it would just be jewels if that were the case. Just money.
Right. Well, I think he would pick mostly fabulous things. Mm-hmm. But I think he would also pick, like, some kind of cat-stuffed animal that he thought you enjoyed quite a bit.
Sure.
But yeah. That was probably, you know, when you were a very small child. But to him, yes. It all bleeds together.
Yeah.
It looks a little bit like Poppet.
It yeah. probably does look a lot like Poppet, honestly. Because the prince created Poppet to keep her company. Mm-hmm. So I imagine there is a well-loved little white plush cat.
And along with those, there are several diamonds worth hundreds of gold, enough to perform your ritual twice, Navara. He says, I do believe we have accumulated everything we need. Once your sandwiches are finished and you are satisfied, we can attempt this if you'd like.
Go ahead and eat without me. I'm going to go out and start preparing this. I need to be near the sun and moon when I do so.
How do you get close to the sun and moon? How do you do that? I mean, I used to fly, and I could not get close.
I'm assuming it's a time, Varric.
Oh, okay.
He nods and rings a small bell by his plate there, and that butler who keeps coming in and out looks in, and he says, Excuse me there, sir. Lead Miss Navara to my daughter's grave post-haste. We will be joining you shortly after dinner is completed. And he nods. Oh, right this way, Miss Navara. I will show you the way to the family graveyard.
Thank you.
And he escorts Navara out of the room while the rest of you finish your turkey sandwiches. And Lord Abernathy lights a cigar. You don't mind if I smoke while you eat, do you?
I do, yep.
Oh, I apologize.
I don't. Adalia is, like, shoving food down her throat. She has suffered from,
Adalia,
like,
her sandwich.
yes, an absence of food most of her life, so she is just no manners consuming these sandwiches.
Nice.
Where is Spunkles right now?
Probably still up in Pickle's Hood.
I believe Spunkles is in Pickle's Hood, yeah.
Big old weasel.
Mm. Cornelius left. I'm going to lean over to Pickles. Can you just do me a quick favor? Can you put Spunkles in the bag of holding?
Don't.
Trust me. I'm just trying to get some intel while Cornelius is busy. I'll take him out.
I don't even
die.
Know if he can breathe in there. Have you gone in a bag of holding? You go in the bag of holding.
10 minutes tops.
No, I'm not putting Spunkles. You wanted him dead.
I don't want to go into the bag of holding.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go in the bag of holding.
Fine.
I can leave. Do you want me to... I can step out.
It's scary in there.
No, it wouldn't work.
I could
work.
Just go. I can ask.
I'm going to use a bathroom.
Can I have some of that turkey sandwich?
I slide my turkey sandwich with Spunkles.
Sure. She's going to start reading feeding sandwich up into her hood.
I'm going to go into the bathroom and cast Prime Evil Awareness and find out all creature types in this house. Okay. Because I would like to know if I can pick up the witch or the dark matron that's in here and figure out what really it is. If I can find the ability.
You're going to swing back by that door.
Try to put Spunkles in the bag of holding.
It was going to be like 1 minute. I was going to take him out after I walk into the bathroom.
Take out his cold, dead corpse.
No, I would not kill Spunkles. I actually like Spunkles. In some way.
We just found his home.
So beginning at third level, you can use your action to expend one ranger spell slot to expand your awareness around you. 1 minute, you can sense the following types of creatures. Aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fae, fiends, undead. Okay. So yeah, Ambrose, you get that up and running as you head to the... You're going to do that just before you do the ritual, it sounds like? Or
I'm just going to go in the bathroom and kind of like, while I'm in there, cast a ritual where Cornelius like kind of stepped away and I'll come back to the table.
Okay.
This is everything in a mile radius, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't sense anything like that at the moment. You don't sense any celestials. You do sense Spunkles.
Right.
Any elementals phase. You do sense Ferric. Fiends, undead, nothing like that.
Nothing else? Like... Mm-mm. Godlike in the house?
Nope, not at the moment.
Okay, I've come back to the table.
I think at about this time, everybody would be finishing their dinner. Lord Abernathy would stand up and say, "Well, I think it is time we retire to the graveyard and see how Miss Navara has fared with her ritual. Shall y'all be accompanying me?"
Sure.
Sounds
Lead
good.
The way.
He leads you down the halls, out into the courtyard, past the entertainment areas, out into the flower fields where their family's graveyard is, way in the back. And there you find Navara and that butler who's been escorting you around. He's just kind of patiently waiting, fidgeting with his white gloves. He waves to you all. "Oh, hello there." Lord Abernathy approaches. "How goes everything out here, Navara? Have you made much progress?"
"It's perfect and ready, whenever you are." And just to note, so while she was preparing, she was like sending the butler out to like go grab flowers and go grab this and go grab that. And she was like taking the other half of the components and kind of storing them away. But she's got everything else like kind of laid out like a dusting.
I'm going to use one of my artillerous features and load my crossbow and just keep it at that and put it on my back.
All right. Well, Navara, would you like to go ahead and lead us in your ritual one more time?
Of course. So everything is laid out. All of Evangeline's favorite items and the diamonds have been dusted around her grave, and there are now flowers placed around as well. And Navara begins speaking in celestial, and it's sounds like poetry, and she's going through, and you kind of see everything raise up together, and then all of the components disappear, leaving her most favorite items to kind of gently fall back down.
After this happens, there's a brief moment. You all saw this happen once before and think to yourselves that that is the end of the ritual, but suddenly a very bright pink light shines down from the heavens onto Evangeline's belongings. You see, out of the grave comes a solid pink apparition of Evangeline. She looks at you all for a moment, smiles, does a curtsy, twirls around, and then flies off into heaven with the beam. Ambrose, as this is happening, you can sense a celestial, and just like that, it's over. Navara, that was very strange. You've never seen anything like that before in your entire life. And that is not how that normally goes. Normally, it is exactly like what happens with the queen.
Would Navara know any reason why? Would she just maybe remember something being told in the past of that happening before?
That is a new one by you.
Okay.
Is she all right now?
Is it over?
It is.
She's whole again.
Yes, she is.
I'm so happy for you.
That can't be.
Why not?
It can't be. I just, like, look in disbelief, shocked. Just that? That easy?
I'm afraid so. I hope so. Seeing her was different, unlike before, but she seemed so happy. How could this be a bad thing?
Is it so easy to pull a soul away from a god?
With that, Navarra's going to faint.
I run and grab her.
She didn't do that last time. Is she okay?
One of you guys roll me a medicine check.
17 for Adalia.
Adalia, you can tell that she is completely exhausted. That pushed her beyond her normal limits. You think back to the first time when she did it, and immediately afterwards she went and ate like, well, no offense, Adalia, but kind of like Ferric. You know, she scarfed hardcore after that first spiritual binding.
Right.
And seems like maybe she's just extremely worn out after all this.
I think she's just exhausted. She seems all right.
All right, let's bring her back to the house and then we could talk about what happened. I don't want to talk around him. She just glances at Cornelius.
He is full on crying. He's like, thank you so much, heroes of Mordstead. You've done so much for me. You've brought this terrible situation to my awareness and we have resolved it. Everything is right in the world again. Thank you so much. And now we're in business together. You're gonna do land development for me. This is just everything's right in the world.
Oh, you're so welcome, Cornelius. Given all that we've done for you, how about let's knock it down to 5%?
Oh, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Thank you for your hospitality, Lord Abernathy. I think we need to get her home.
He nods. He motions for the butler, and he's like, help them get her home immediately. He's like, but sir, I have business to attend to on the grounds. What did I tell you to do? I told you to help them get her home. He said, oh, well, Lord, whatever you say, sir, I get paid by the hour. He looks at you. Which way is home? As he, like, grabs her legs.
Ferric will gesture towards the front of the house. And then as soon as we're out of, like, eye shot and earshot, Ferric's going to say, take the rest of the day. We got it from here. We can carry them. Just say that it took you a very long time to get here.
Oh, thank heavens. Thank you so much. You truly are heroes.
Ferric will sling Navarra over their shoulder.
Oh.
Well, good day.
Bye.
Bye. He walks off into the sunset, whistling a tune.
Where should we put us? Where should we get more food?
We have food back at
the house. Is the closest.
The house.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping to go out, you know. But that's fine. No, that's fine. No, seriously, it's fine. No, we would feed them there.
Let's get her home and see if she feels like an evening out.
No fun.
I mean, Ferric, I'm sorry, but we've had several evenings out, and Ambrose is right. We need to go to the library, especially with what just happened. I think it's important that we see if we can figure out what it meant that we were able to see eventually.
I mean, we kind of got to talk about it. If it's that easy to defeat the prince, like...
They don't serve drugs and alcohol at your libraries?
If we bring them.
No. Why would they sell drugs and alcohol at a library, Ferric?
How are you expected to gain the knowledge of your ancestors if you're not high out of your mind?
Ambrose looks into the sky with, like, such confusion with that statement. Tries to process it.
Ferric, do you read? Do Kiln read? Do people from the Takari Wilds read?
Of course we read.
Okay, I was just curious.
What kind of question is that?
I can understand that. There are people who believe that your mind is expanded when under the influence of certain things. But I do think that can wait until we have Navarra conscious again, preferably, before we make any decisions about mind-altering substances or trips to bars or the library, or both. I feel like it should be both, Ferric. You're correct.
That's what we should build.
A library bar.
A library.
Yes. A library.
Brilliant.
With the church next door.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to get ran off. but okay.
We do if it is strictly religious scripts.
What if it was connected to a church? What if there was a church and a library?
Well, it's kind of hard because in Mornstead tax law, you can't have a place close to a religious residence near a bar. So you have to work with the footage.
We've got so much land, though.
Like, we do have so much land.
Connect by a really long road.
We'll ask the three kings when they arrive and see what they have to say about putting a library next to a church.
Well, what if we decided that libraries and bars were part of the religious practice of the church?
What if we start our own church?
As far as I know, I am the only faithful of the Hero's Light. So if I should say, you know, that you must imbibe alcohol and study for a certain amount of time as part of your religious practice, I don't think anyone would contradict me.
Adalia, what is the Hero's Light?
I don't know, but exactly, you know, it's
back to the library.
Adalia, does anyone know what the Hero's Light actually is? You've been saying it like
it's a
you've studied it.
Derek's going to put their finger on Ambrose's mouth.
The Hero's Light is stronger than anything that you have ever seen. The Hero's Light is what guided Spunk to heal my wounds. The Hero's Light is the reason why I am alive and why no one sings at my graveyard.
I'm not questioning if it's a dumb concept or anything. I'm actually curious on what is the Hero's Light. And that's why I would like to go to the library.
What is Vespa? What is Zorla? What is any of it? Does it even matter at this point?
I believe the origin of the power is important to know.
Well, again, Navara is unconscious. We should deal with that first. But as long as we are researching things, the light did tell me to look for the Rock of Bristol. So
I wrote that down.
Perhaps that's in the library.
There is a lot to research. Let's add to the list Evangeline. Maybe Navara will know once we revive her.
That seemed so simple. Nothing has been that easy.
It seemed too nice.
It was beautiful. It was
exactly
right.
All right.
Plus, would Evangeline curtsy to us?
I never met her.
Yeah, can I do an insight check on if this was the correct behavior of Evangeline?
Sure.
Because to me, like, through all this traumatic experience, this is, like, a little too good. 22.
I would say that you think it seems a little too good.
Mm.
Like, yeah, that is, like, what Evangeline would do if she was, like, in a Hallmark movie, like, the perfect
That's what I'm saying.
Evangeline.
Okay.
Can we also add Spunkles to the list?
Ambrose's mouth is wide open, and his tongue is, like, you can kind of visibly see his tongue, like, licking the side of his teeth. Like, something just got caught in his head. I look at Eugene. Your daddy tried playing us. That was bullshit. I know Evangeline's curtsy, and that was not her curtsy. She curtsies with her left leg, not her right.
Oh. Right, that didn't even occur to me. Not the curtsy thing, I wouldn't have known that, but the other thing that you mentioned.
And her hands open, not down, when she curtsies. She always reveals her palm.
I see. So you think this has something to do with that?
What else would it be, Miraz?
Well, more reason to go to the library, right? Figure this out. Get it taken care of.
Navara first. Seems like we should feed her something.
Navara first.
All right.
Are you all right to carry her, Ferrick?
I'll be fine.
Pickles, he spoke to me.
I was just about to say that. It's improving.
While we're walking, Evangeline, whoo, oh man, I just got transported back in time. Adalia is going to cast Goodberry and just kind of poke one into Navara's mouth and see if that helps at all.
Oh yeah, Navara, Goodberries have enough nutrients for like a whole day, so.
A whole day.
Yeah, it's instantly like, I mean, obviously it's not like, you know, you feel great, but you definitely feel like you can wake up now. You feel like you have a hangover.
Mm.
God.
Oh my. Let go of me, please.
Oh, jeez. Okay, here.
She just falls right onto her.
Wow.
Where's my weapon?
Here, it kept poking me in the hip.
Oh, thank you.
She's gonna grab her double-bladed scimitar and, like, just kind of slowly stand up and straighten her back.
Can you walk?
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine, thank you. She kind of stumbles.
Yeah, perfectly fine. You are just passed the fuck out. Yeah, perfectly fine. She's gonna
dump the other 9 good berries into Navara's hand and, like, close her fingers over them. Just in case.
Thank you.
What happened back there that seemed so unlike what happened with the queen?
It was different, but it just... I guess I haven't eaten enough. I should have eaten before I did that.
Ambrose is leaning against the wall in the living room, leg crossed, looking at Navara while she's... I'm assuming she's sitting down on the couch.
Now, are we back now?
Yeah, you guys have made your way back to Ambrose's estate.
I think you were playing Navarro.
How so?
That was not Evangeline.
That was the person I've come across before. She looked just like her.
That was not Evangeline.
Who would you think that is? Did she have sisters?
She had a mother. Could have been her. Or...
the prince.
It was the prince.
But would the prince not have registered with your senses, Ambrose?
He's a sneaky bastard. He could have plotted this a week ago. Is it weird that Navarro was here?
Did you sense anything with your awareness? A soul is here?
You did sense a celestial.
Oh, I did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, but the prince is a fallen celestial, so that might be just how he registers.
Yeah, when they did the ritual, you sensed when Evangeline's spirit came and went that there was a celestial present.
In all your experience, have you seen a soul that transparent? A soul that has formed physical energy?
So, in all of my experience, which has now been 2 people, I have seen one without and one with. The stories I've heard of my ancestors never really specified. It just worked.
So what I'm hearing is more stuff for the library.
I think so.
Navarra's going to reach back into a little satchel on her hip and take it off of her belt and then throw it over to Eugene. These are for you when you're ready.
Thank you. I apologize. I was looking at notes. I missed what you threw to me.
Oh, I threw the diamonds to you.
The diamonds, okay. Thank you. What use do I have for diamonds?
Well, Ambrose said that you also have been making deals with the prince.
Had been. Past tense.
You feel your soul is no longer held by him?
I believe he held my ear. I'd like to think that my soul has always been my own.
The prince has a soul.
Is there any reason to think it would be more difficult to sever Eugene's soul than it was, in theory, to sever his soul from the control of the prince than whatever ritual you just performed, Navarra?
I don't think it would be more difficult, but we would at least be able to see if it was a possibility. If Ambrose is suspicious, then rightfully so, then Evangeline can't tell us that.
The magic you performed, is that something you can do on a living person, or is it only for the dead?
I believe it's on anyone broken. I don't think I could do it probably tonight, I'm far too exhausted, but at least Eugene would be able to tell us if it actually severed ties.
Perhaps tomorrow, then.
Sure.
Anyways, I'm heading to the library.
Me too.
I do think that's the next move. Let's gather as much information as we can.
Yes.
And thank you, Navarra.
And while you guys are saying, I took care of the lawn last week, can you guys just help out around the house just a little bit more? It's getting very filthy. And the house looks perfect. Uh-huh. But, you know, if you could just, you know, clean up after yourselves, it'd be great.
I will definitely help take care of the lawn. It will look great. I got you.
Alright, Pickles, you can only do the grass.
Okay.
Adalia casts Druidcraft to make, like, a little bouquet of flowers, and she, like, drops it in a glass of water. Is that better?
No, the lawn. Not the inside. The lawn.
I got it. Don't worry about it.
Why are we responsible for the lawn? Did we mess it up?
I'm asking you guys as friends.
Oh, you said something about us being filthy, so I was confused.
I mean, you guys are. I've been cleaning up the whole entire house. I wash 85 cups. Whoever keeps using the cups and just using one singular cup, please wash the cups.
Ferrick looks at Eugene.
Eugene looks at Ferrick. It's like the Spider-Mans pointing at each other.
It's both of them. That's why there's so many of them.
I can certainly help on with the garden, but I'd prefer not to be referred to as filthy if possible, Ambrose. I understand that you have a very different upbringing, but just so you know, that's a very insulting thing to say to people, even if it's true.
Just so you know, I've done all your dishes, so please.
I don't think Adalia has used any dishes. I think she whoever
keeps on using the damn dishes needs to do them.
I didn't even know Ambrose knew how to do dishes.
I was surprised he could cook so well.
Ambrose, I will do what I can to help clean up around the
house.
Don't
talk to me. And I
walked out.
We also need to go to the library, though, don't we?
Should we like, try to grab Ravenna so we could research into the dark matron thing, too? Should we try to find him?
Yeah,
or we just that's a good idea. Tomorrow thing?
We're meeting with him on tomorrow morning, right?
Let's get him now. Let's see if he's...
I'd be interested.
Do we even know where he went? He just, like, left and said, see you tomorrow.
He told us where he was going, where he was saying it.
Yeah, he's at the Crystal Court headquarters. It's in the Jewel Quarter.
Okay. I forgot about that.
We should see if he's interested in joining us, at least. I feel like he may not only be interested in what we find, but also might have some insight.
Okay.
Or he might be someone sent by the prince to fuck with us.
Ferrick, darling.
He is pretty.
That is true. He is pretty. But do we have any evidence that the prince is especially pretty himself? We can discuss this on the road, but we should go get Ravenor, I think.
He's a manipulating god. Of course he can be pretty.
Fascinating.
He's pretty.
Raz, you think everybody's pretty?
Yeah, but he's especially pretty.
So it sounds like you guys head back out into the city to try and find Ravenna. Mm-hmm. It is getting to be kind of late. It's probably about 8 o'clock now after you went back to Ambrose's house to wake up Navara.
I think we probably just barge in anyway.
Yeah.
Unless anyone objects.
Stop by and get Ravenna off, then go to the library and like a bunch of cool kids.
Yeah. And just barge in there too.
On a Friday
Hello.
Night
study session. Yeah.
On a Friday night.
We're very cool, you guys. We're the heroes of Mornstead. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ferrick will disappear for a little bit and, you know, like arrive back at the group. And they are clinking and clanking as they walk.
Ferrick.
Yes. Hello, Ferrick.
Hello.
Is everything all right?
Yeah, everything's great.
Marvelous. Adalia is going to subtly cast Pass Without a Trace so that using one of her crystalline forms so that Ferrick doesn't clink and clank quite so obviously when we go see the Knights of the Crystal Court or whatever they're called.
Mother, why is Uncle Ferrick so clanky right now?
He can't thinks sleep. He's being real sneaky with booze. It's just like, let him go.
Ferrick, put it in the bag.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
We can drink at the library, but I can't deal with the clanking. It's too loud.
Can you put it into the bag of holding so it doesn't clank and then...
What are you guys talking about?
Ferrick.
It's all right.
Okay, fine. Fine.
Yes. Marvelous.
Ferrick pulls minute, out like five growlers out of their robes.
What? Love that.
Is there open bottle laws in Mornstead? Or are we just allowed to drink
we're
on the street?
We're the heroes of Mornstead, baby. We can do whatever we want.
Well, we're not above the law.
I
chill
would say
out.
In the Jeweled Quarter, there is, like, you know, you're not supposed to be publicly drunk unless you're extremely wealthy, you know. Then it's okay for you to be publicly drunk.
I think we're kind of extremely wealthy.
We're land chads. We own land.
We own land. We live in a palace.
We're landed gentries now.
We have lots of gold, at least by...
Wealthy adjacent, at least.
Thank you. Yes,
we're famous right now.
And we're famous.
Yeah, famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, no cop wants to be the person that arrested the heroes of Mornstead.
No. Ooh, also, I'd like to see them try to catch us. They couldn't even catch us when we really were on the run, let alone now when everyone
I don't have Fog Cloud queued up, so don't say that now.
We're fine.
You do see a couple of constables giving you guys the look, but no one does stop you.
Oh, I do have Fog Cloud.
Adalia waves at them cheerily. Yeah. Good evening.
Ferrick puffs up like a beast.
You do eventually make your way to the Knights of the Crystal Crown headquarters. It is a very ancient building, one of the more historical ones. For the most part, it is just kind of a, you know, a documentation building. Like, it's not in use full time as the Knights are an international organization. It's only in use when they're in the city, when they have business. There are a couple people that are stationed here at all times, but for the most part, it's pretty chill. Very, very calm. Almost nobody. It's in the Jeweled Quarter, so they don't really have to worry about guards. And everyone who works here is a knight. So, you know, kind of give it a shot. Fuck around and find out, you know?
Yeah. We're the kings of fuck around and find out. Right. Adalia just immediately either knocks on the door or walks right in if the door is not locked.
It is not locked. There is, you enter, there is a scribe writing at the front desk. There are books and scrolls everywhere. There is a shelf, very disorganized. He looks up at you.
Oh, hello there. I didn't think we'd have any guests. What can I do for you?
We are here for Pretty Boy.
Yes, we Pretty are boy. looking for Sir Ravenor. Is he in?
Oh, yeah, I could get Sir Ravenor. He's here. He's probably sleeping, though. It's past his bedtime.
Oh, well, tell him it's very important Heroes of Mornstead business.
Of course, right. Heroes of Mornstead, no less.
And he, like, walks out from behind his desk, puts his quill in the inkwell. He's pretty old. He's hunched. He walks over to a door. He walks through it. You guys wait for probably about 10, 15 minutes. He walks back and he says,
Sir Ravenor will be here in just a moment. He's in his pajamas.
Oh, we're not formal.
It's a little too much information, but thank you.
What's wrong with pajamas?
You could have a seat right over all the time.
Go get him, Pickles.
Ravenor comes rushing through the door in just a pair of like leather breeches and, just porcelain,
shirtless,
perfect,
hippo.
Immaculate skin, just an insane, like, perfect, like, photoshopped on six pack. The only blemish on his whole body is, like, on his chest near his heart is a pretty nasty scar that looks as if he'd been stabbed through the chest at some point. But other than that, it's like he's immaculate. Blonde hair is just like hanging down, you know, almost to his belly button, just golden.
What has happened? Is there a problem?
Oh, hello, Sir Ravenor. No, no problem. We are having a wild night on the town and are going to the library, and we hoped you would join us.
Oh, well, that's good. You gave me quite a start. I thought that something had something nefarious or something. You had found some horrible news.
Do you always run out in just your pants when there's an emergency happening?
Yeah, and who's in their pajamas by 8 o'clock?
I thought we would have an early morning. I wanted to be rested and ready for...
We're not much for early mornings, Sir Ravenor. You'll learn that quickly, I think. But we are very interested in books and things like that. Adalia's nodding like she absolutely knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, look at Adalia, like the most weirdest thing that she has ever said.
Yes. But we thought you might want to join us in the research. I think some of our interests may intertwine.
Thank you so very much, but it is getting...
It's mandatory.
Don't you all be heading to bed soon? Don't you have quite a bit of work to do?
The research is some of the work. Get it done now. Work. Go to bed late. We're very hard workers.
Absolutely. Okay. So I'm so sorry. I'm out of sorts now. Well, I guess allow me to get dressed, and I can accompany you. I don't know what help I'll be, but if I can, yes.
I mean, you could just like throw on a jacket, and you'll be fine.
All right then. Just a moment. I'll find my shoes. And he leaves, and after a couple of minutes he returns, and he has like a loose, like white strung blouse, and just his sword on a leather
very
belt.
Deep V. As soon as I'm here.
Very deep V.
Yeah. Straight to his belly button.
Deep V. Yep. Super deep V. His hair's tied back in the bun again. He's got his sword belt and his sword and his travel boots, and he's like, "All right, let us be off then. What are we going to the library for again?"
Ambrose has very serious business to attend to, and Ferric acquired several growlers of alcohol. So, take your poison, and that's what we're doing for the night, and we wanted you to be able to participate however you wish.
Well, you are the newly found heroes. I wouldn't want to disappoint you. And he's ready to go.
All right, let's go to the library, man.
Let's go to the library.
Navara has been, like, turned around the entire time, and she's just, like, gonna, like, peek and be like, oh, thank God, and then follow behind.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, we gotta come interrupt him, like, after 9 p.m. It's just, like, every day.
Pickle, stop.
I don't think I can handle this.
Pickles, you don't want to seem desperate, so they tell me. Just play it very cool.
Okay, so, like, every other day, got it.
Yes.
All right, library. Books.
So, do you want to go to Vilvanus's library, or did you want to try and go to a bigger, badder library, the royal library?
The royal library. I will stop by Vilvanus's and just pick up my stuff real quick if I can, but if not, that's all good.
Oh, yeah, you can do that real quick. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all.
Banging on his door.
Here's your things, Ambrose, your gauntlets of ogre strength, your...
Thank you.
Interrupted everybody.
I never could find a device that will help you with interrogations. I don't know if that was private, but I couldn't find
that
anything.
That was private,
if you have
but
any
thank you.
Direct suggestions, I might be able to, but nothing I could find offhand.
That's fine for now.
But here you are.
I have other forms of interrogation. Thanks.
And here's your deposit back for the third item that I could not find.
I nod.
Thank you for your business and your patron.
Thank you, Vilvanus.
Any luck on the research?
That's where we're going now.
We're doing it tonight.
Oh, excellent. Well, good luck. And you, from there, you head back to the castle. The guards look a little bit surprised to see you. Oh, the heroes of Mondstadt again. Are you here for that chair?
Not yet. What's your name, by the way? You're always here. You're so nice.
Oh, thanks so much. I do work an awful lot of hours. It's kind of bullshit if you ask me, but...
Yeah, totally.
The name's Dermer. Nice to meet you.
Dermer.
All right, Dermer. One day we'll get this chair. Don't worry. It'll happen. I think Kelvin's just too upset today. We gotta wait until he's, like, out of town.
Right.
Well, did you I'll just admit here. To the guard that you're planning to steal from the head of the Gold Council?
And the guard just agreed with it.
Well, this is the same guard that she asked if she could steal the chair last time. He knows.
Yeah, he thinks it might be a fun prank.
He's aware.
Well, what can I help you with if it's not the chair?
You gotta get into the library. Can you just, like, sneak us in?
You're not gonna steal any books, are you?
Oh, no.
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 Almost definitely not.
All right. Well, right this way, then.
He leads you into the castle through the winding hallways. You eventually find yourself in a massive library where the shelves go all the way to the ceiling, and there's those big-ass ladders, you know, that with the wheels on them. And there's a second story of books and, you know, a basically anything you could want. They're very disorganized, though. Everything is kind of loosely shelved. Some things are put in the shelf backwards or on their side, upside down. Things are shelved, you know, just totally randomly. They're not shelved by subject. They're not shelved by alphabetical. They're not shelved by author. as you start, you know, going through it, you just find that it seemed like whoever was the last person who went through this just really did a number on the organization.
Is there a librarian in here?
There is a very old librarian. He has a great big beard, a long flowing robe. He is reading a book. He briefly acknowledges you and you come in with an eye, like he locks eyes with you each, and then he just keeps reading.
I walk up.
He looks at you.
This place is disgusting. And I walk away.
Ambrose!
I'm so sorry, sir. He's having a night. That's why we're here.
Ferrick walks up and slides a piece of gold over the table.
We're sorry for our friend. He's not used to being around peasants like us.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a peasant.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. No,
I meant peasants like us, like we're like peasants.
We're just going to go look at the books now. We'll just leave you be. Thank you.
What was that?
Nothing, sir. Thank you.
We said, enjoy your book.
Enjoy your book.
Insight check. Does this guy even hear me what I said to him? Or
I doubt it.
Go ahead and give me a roll.
That one. No.
You think he, the way he looked at you, he heard you.
Good.
Good.
Idalia's gonna run to catch up with Ambrose. May I have that bag of holding, please? To keep the others entertained.
Sure. And I get the bag.
As he hands the bag, Idalia is going to, like, you know, when their hands brush, she's gonna cast Enhance Ability and give you Fox's Cunning so that you have advantage on intelligence checks.
How long does that last?
That lasts for an hour.
Hold up on that. I'll be back in an hour. You guys go around and start looking at things.
Ambrose, why are you always leaving?
Where are you going?
I pull out the bag and I show my headband of intellect. I'm going to help us out on studying things.
All right.
Idalia
would like to look around for a corner where we're going to be least obtrusive to the old librarian and then start pulling the growlers out of the bag of holding.
While I'm getting ready, here's a list of everything that I've wrote down that we should be looking at. If you guys can actually grab the books and start looking for Pickles, I assigned you for dragon lore specifically because that is very important to you. Eugene, you already know what you're going to be looking at.
I'll try to find everything that you need me to as well.
I need you to look at Lauren the Witch and the Dark Matron. And you two, I look at Dahlia and Ferrick, you obviously know what we just talked about earlier. Look into that. Navarro, you're free to look at whatever you want.
Navarro's already, like, reorganizing everything in, like, actually, the most annoyed and meticulous manner.
I'll be back in an
hour. Thank you, Navarro. That was irking me.
It's horrible.
Yeah, Eugene would immediately start looking for the books that Ambrose had on the list, whether or not everyone else takes to Ambrose's instruction. Eugene is both is legitimately interested in finding information on all of this as well.
Mind if I join you, Eugene?
Hey, Ravana, if you saw a baby dragon, would you kill it?
What, baby rabbit?
A baby dragon.
Would I kill a baby dragon?
Yeah.
It's a strange question to ask.
Important.
I don't feel like a baby can be that dangerous, so I would think not, no?
Okay, good. Pickles is going to pull Smuggles up out of her hood and have Smuggles help her look for books. All right, Smuggles, we're going to go look for dragon books.
Okay. Wow, that is full of surprises.
Ravenel, his name is Smuggles. So far, he has proved to be very helpful and not dangerous, as far as we know. But he's
not
also
like the
very...
stories you've heard your whole life, correct?
No, certainly not. And also, he's terribly devoted to Pickles. So I think as long as nothing terrible happens to her, he will follow her lead, so to speak.
You are all shattering societal norms, I see.
I've never had much use for societal norms. Well, would you like a drink, Ravenna, or is your body a temple? You seem the type.
Indeed. My body is a temple. I would like to help young Eugene if I could find whatever it is he's looking for.
I think Eugene could use the help.
I'm good in a library, but I will still take the help.
Is Ambrose still here?
Ambrose be gone.
I'm a little bit further away from everyone while I'm doing stuff. But you can. I'm not that far away where you can't come to me real quick.
No, it's good.
All right. Well, I think we're running up on time, so we're going to go ahead and call it here for the night. But when we come back, we'll find out what everybody found in their research. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Thanks for playing, players. Great to have you. It's pretty hilarious stuff I did not expect.
We really live to keep you on your toes, Cody. That's the whole goal.
If you did not expect it, and you want to tell the players what you did expect, you know, feel free to jump into the Discord and be like, hey, this is what I thought y'all were going to do. I was pretty surprised. Discord.gg/thehomebrewpodcast. We have an amazing community growing, and, you know, we'd love for you to be a part of it. If you got a couple extra dollars, you know, come jump in our Patreon, patreon.com/thehomebrew. $2 gets you access to all kinds of cool stuff. We're putting out PDFs, monthly art. You can get a shout out for $10. If you want to have something, you know, like physical, like something that you can hold in your hand, go to our dice sponsor, fanrolldice.com. Get you some dice. Use promo code homebrew at checkout and get 10% off. And remember, you are loved. You are loved as much as the failures love the library, which is the most important thing. Remember to support your local library. You are important. You are as important as the alcohol that Firik snuck into the library. Because what is a library without secret alcohol?
Library.
And you matter. You matter as much as that land that they're going to develop. You know, that matters quite a bit. Thanks for joining us, y'all.